Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. My gosh. They're all going against the wind.
It was basically a cube with inside of a sphere where the points of the cube were touching outside of the sphere.
So this isn't anything that just is limited to the United States. It's a worldwide phenomenon.
Hi, this is Sean Cahill, and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
In our obsession with antagonisms of the moment, we often forget how much unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us? What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war and the threat of war?
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and joining me on the show today is regular co-host Dan. Dan, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, I'm great, Andy. It's good to be back.
Yes, it is. It's not been too long since we last recorded, and there's a few shows being recorded over the next couple of weeks, which I'm very excited about. One of them, getting straight into it, the roundtable you'll be involved in, that I actually hadn't properly announced it, but I suppose I could just mention it now because we're going to be doing it with... do you know what, Dan? Why don't you announce it?
Am I allowed to? Okay. I wasn't prepared. I'll just clear my throat.
I know. Do you know, I hadn't even thought about doing that. Go on.
We'll be doing a roundtable with Jeremy McGowan and Sean Cahill, which is very exciting.
We can't talk about too much of what we'll be talking about at the minute. Even I don't fully know that yet, but that'll be exciting. Sean's a really cool guy. Jeremy has jumped headfirst into the UAP topic since he appeared on the podcast back last summer as well. And obviously yourself, three cool guys having a cool chat about UAPs and other such things. So yeah, looking forward to that one. Just a heads up for listeners as well, as if you don't already know, because I've been blabbing on about it enough on social media, but Lou Elizondo will be recording with me this coming Thursday, which I'm very excited about, of course. Your questions have came in by the bucket load, which I really appreciate. I've just been sharing some of them with Dan as we went through before. Do you know what's been the coolest thing? I've had quite a few people private message me that I've got to be very wary to try and not ask Lou anything that will have him not answer and bring up his NDA. So I'm being very careful, folks, as best I can, to ask Lou some questions that he can answer to the best of his ability. So I am already on that one, but thank you for the messages. And of course, the day after, I have Avi Loeb as well, who's been doing the media rounds. He has a book coming out on, I believe, the 26th of January, but I'll discuss that with him on the podcast. Avi is a professor at Harvard, and he famously has been discussing the Oumuamua I believe, Dan. Is that still right?
That's right. Yeah.
Dan,
we know this time.
we do know this time, yeah. It's not the Judy Trudy. Oumuamua object passed through the solar system back in, what was it, 2017 now. And Avi is obviously a very smart, intelligent individual who's came out and said, you know what, this probably was an extraterrestrial visitor. Who knows? But we'll be discussing that and more with Avi later on in the week as well. So please keep those questions coming over. I'm going to give people 24 hours from now. So you'll have till Tuesday, the 19th of January, to email me the question for Avi or Lou or both to ufouapam@gmail.com. It's going to be an interesting and very exciting week. So thank you to everyone who's sent over questions so far for those shows. The show this week is going to be the Room 101 listener submissions. We got so many of those for the roundtable with Gaucho and Dave from Shadows Magazine that we could not get them all into the show. I mean, we got about four of them in once we'd finished discussing the past guest submissions. So we kept them for a third show. And me and Dan are going to run through them in a bit of a quick fire format. Before we get to that though, Dan, a little bit of news from this week, which is nice to see the last couple of weeks. There's been some more regular updates coming out. The first one, now I say nice news. It's not really nice because as a bit of a TTSA fanboy, I don't feel it's right to say former fanboy just yet. TTSA finally put out the statement we've been expecting a couple of days ago to confirm that Chris Mellon, Steve Justice, and the aforementioned Lou Elizondo have all parted company with To The Stars Academy. So not unexpected. We knew this was coming, just given Lou's interview with John Greenwald and some of the statements and comments he was making online. What are your thoughts then on Lou and co departing To The Stars?
If you're just joining us after a bit of an edit there, it's because I got tongue-tied and the microphone fell down on Andy's side. So there was a little bit of edit there to do.
Yeah, and that's not to downplay the quality of the equipment in the studio. Let's just say that I shouldn't have been twiddling certain parts of the equipment while trying to record the podcast at all. It's very unprofessional and it fell down. So yeah, my bad.
We'll get you a fidget spinner.
I need, or don't know, because it'll just make a horrible noise during recording.
Oh, that's true. That is true. So we were talking about the TTSA news. It's really interesting that Chris, Lou, and Steve are now separated. For a while, there's been, you know, a lot of speculation about the information coming out of TTSA because Tom always came at it from a very entertainment-heavy perspective, and the Secret Machines books were always said to contain some truth and some fiction, whereas now when we look at what Lou does in the future, that question will not be there at all. The only thing he's dealing in now is infotainment. That's as far as it'll go. It'll be facts. In terms of, you know, making a fictional Hollywood film about Secret Machines, you know, Lou won't have anything to do with that, and I think that'll be advantageous for him going forward.
He made the point very quickly and earnestly that himself and Chris and Steve are not entertainers, and Unidentified had a purpose which he feels it served. The show itself was successful. Disappointed that it looks like we're not going to get that season three. Obviously Anthony LaPay, back when I interviewed him, talked about that season three could have contained material that was never used previously, such as the NASA officials that had contacted him, or people who worked at NASA with information that they wouldn't go on the record with, which was a nice tease, but we might not see that come to light now. I get Lou's point of view. He's never came across as the sort of guy who courts the attention, who craves media, and even though he's now starting to do some more media, which is great, he did bring up, interestingly, and he actually went out of his way to mention this at the start of the Black Vault's meeting interview with him, that he wasn't receiving the requests that others and John Greenwald were making through the representation that Tom had to give those requests over to himself and potentially others, and basically made out, as you know, that, I mean, it's Tom DeLonge's wife, isn't it, that handles that for To The Stars. So it seems that they weren't getting those media requests But it seems to have been very amicable. The separation very much seems to be that of two parents splitting up but agreeing to share custody of the children, and they're still on talking terms. But Lou just seems that classy individual, as I'm sure Steve and Chris would have been as well, that it was a case of, look, we've got to a point, we've achieved a lot, but the time has come where we both have different ways we want to go with this. And Lou felt it best served to leave TTSA and pursue those avenues via different methods that we don't totally know what those are going to be yet. But we do know he's staying involved in the topic, which is only going to be a benefit, as you say, to other people, isn't it?
It was actually Carrie DeLong. That's Tom's sister.
Apologies, yeah.
He makes a lot of jokes about that kind of thing, so I can understand the confusion. It's nice that that's not barrier now.
Where do you see Lou and Chris and Steve going from here? Do you think those three are going to stay together as a small group themselves and work together still on this subject? Do you think they'll go their separate ways? A lot of people have looked at potentially going back into some sort of government involvement. What are your thoughts on that? It's all purely rumour at this point anyway.
I think I can see definitely Chris and Lou sticking together. You know, they've worked a lot together. I'm not sure how much Steve Justice has been involved in the day-to-day behind the scenes. So I could see him perhaps going off and doing something else. But it's great to know that the subject has his ear and interest anyway, because he's a very qualified individual who can open some doors for the guys if they need to talk to people.
Absolutely. And obviously, later in the week, I'll be speaking with Lou, see what more information may or may not come out at that point regarding TTSA and moving forward, what Lou's plans are. But I look forward to speaking with him. Other news, we talked about the roundtable with yourself, Jeremy and Sean. Now, Jeremy and Sean have posted on their social media platforms that they are off on a bit of a road trip. Jeremy, for a while now, has been building his own Skyhub platform. And he is very coolly, I must say, but much to the chagrin of his wife, as I've found out, converted one of his cars. The back of it has the Skyhub itself within the car. So it's out of the roof, which is great, and also makes it mobile as well. Now, Jeremy and Sean have posted that they are working on an untitled project with It's Redacted, and also the I Believe in Humans podcast are part of this as well. They've not talked in too much more detail about what they're doing, where they're heading off to, but you did design the logo for the vehicle and the project as well, haven't you? Osiris, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Jeremy contacted me a while before Christmas and asked if I'd be interested in kind of helping them out. And I thought, I mean, yeah, there's no way I'm going to pass up that opportunity. So he gave me a bit of a brief, which was pretty much, you know, the name, the tire. And then I kind of had the sky was the limit. So yeah, I put that together over a few weeks and it was amazing to be able to send it to him. And it's very, very satisfying to see that someone's happy with something like that when you made it for them, you know.
Yeah, and hot off the press, I did send Sean a message and just ask, obviously, safe driving for him and Jeremy, how things were going. And they've just let us know that initial Skyhub and Osiris tests are complete, and they're currently in the southern portion of Wyoming, headed towards their first destination. That's all we know so far. So very much look forward to keeping on top of that and getting further updates from Sean and Jeremy as part of that as well. So, yep, lots of interesting stuff to come. But on to the listener submissions for Room 101. So, folks, Room 101, Part 1 and Part 2, both available with Gaucho, Dan and Dave. A lot of fun to record. And it was your chance to talk about the things in ufology and with UAPs that annoy you within the subject and decide, you know what, is it just, does it annoy you? Or did we agree, did the guys agree that they would send it to Room 101 and delete it from ufology forever? So just as a bit of a quick fire, myself and Dan are going to run through some more of your listener submissions and bring up some of the gripes you have with the topic, with the subject, and do we feel we should get rid or keep them within the topic? Is it going to be for the best? So the first
Can I just do something before we get started?
Yeah, go for it.
During the show, I voted to put science into Room 101, and I think we all did. and it's not going to make a difference. We can't bring it back out, but I just wanted the record to show that I've changed my mind since.
No, I'm going to edit that bit out. You can't be changing your mind. Once it's consigned, it's consigned.
Unburn it.
Yeah. There were some controversial opinions in there as well. And you know what? I think this is a good example in what we recorded before and what the listeners got involved with of what Lou Elizondo is talking about with regards to infotainment. You are being able to educate people and share people's opinions on the subject in an entertaining manner. And it's just how you frame the discussion and frame the subject. And do you know what? It never hurts with a bit of entertainment these days because there's a lot going on in the world, which isn't particularly pleasant. However, this subject is wild and crazy and incredible as it is. There's a lot to discuss. And this sort of framing of it allows us to do that in a quick format as well. So the first one up is from Dave Smethurst. Dave had a bit of a late suggestion, but he wanted to consign and delete from ufology people say they are not debunking something just before they go on to try and debunk it. And he does say he can't think who does that. But yeah, so people saying that they're not debunking something but then go on to debunk it, Dan.
It's pretty much the no offense, but, and then going on to offend someone of ufology, right? Yeah. So yeah, throw it in.
And there's so much arguing around this as well. And even recently I've talked about some of the things I've posted on my feed and listeners more and more these days. And I really appreciate this on various platforms will post me footage or a link. And sometimes I share those on the page just to ask people's thoughts. And some people can get so upset with a piece of footage or a picture and just share your thoughts on it. If you know for a fact a piece of footage or a picture has been, let's just use the word debunked or, you know, proven to be or identified, given, you know, what we're saying, these are unidentified flying objects. We're not claiming they are flying saucers per se. But if it's been identified or you know for a fact, then share that information. If you think it's something else, absolutely come in and state what you think and why, because it's more likely to be that than two greys in a flying saucer just hovering over the beach somewhere. But we don't know, but that's why we're involved in this subject, isn't it? That there are some images and some videos that do just get the mind going a little bit and make you think and make you wonder.
Yeah, absolutely. Something else to be said about this as well is that a lot of people, you know, a lot of videos, an example that I brought up earlier when we were speaking before the podcast was the ball lightning going across the train tracks. Mm-hmm. That kind of, you know, zaps a few things as it goes. And that comes up often. I often see people showing that as evidence of ball lightning, but it was a fake video. However, the guy didn't make it as a hoax. He did it as a bit of practice CGI, uploaded it somewhere online, and then people have taken it and kind of twisted it. So, you know, there's no ill intent there from the creator. They didn't create a hoax. They just did an exercise to improve their skill. So if you know something like that, like Andy said, you got to kind of just share it and do it in a way that's just not, for lack of a better word, dickish.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And do you know what? To move on to the next point, Mark Monroe posted imbeciles posting clearly fake footage. Now, that fits in well with what we've just discussed. I agree with the proviso that it's people posting videos on YouTube of a clearly CGI'd saucer. And there's one particular I always remember landing in some sort of field. Someone's filming it from a couple of hundred feet away, a couple of hundred yards. I don't know what metric you're listening to this so that you know. And two clearly CGI looking aliens come down a ramp, wander about, and then go back up. Now that's fake. But like you say, if that's someone who's created that for some science project or, you know, for something to do with school, or they're just messing about with a new bit of software they've got, then that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. What annoys me is when it's posted with the comment of proof that aliens exist or here is real footage.
Basically aliens.
Yeah, that kind of stuff where it's like, that's annoying because it doesn't help, does it? And there's so much good quality or interesting footage out there. We don't need that. And that to me is the detrimental stuff. When people post things saying this is clearly this or this is clearly that, you don't know that. But it's just trying to decide what's what within that as well. So that I would totally bin that and put that to room 101.
It's a good point to mention. There's been a show running called The Proof Is Out There, that Tim McMillan, MJ Benias, Chase Kolesky, you know, they've appeared on. And they basically just take all sorts of videos from the internet and just vet them. And some of them need vetting. Some of them stray away, you know, they kind of just call out the hoax. But yeah. At no point do they laugh. They just explain why it's wrong and why it's a hoax, how they identified it, and they move on. I think we can all learn a lesson from that.
Absolutely. And it's just the age we live in now. It's 2021. If you're listening to this in the future and, you know, we don't have YouTube and all that kind of stuff anymore, then probably great. But it's got a really good purpose and it has a lot of great content on there as well. But like with anything, it can be used for bad as well. And we've seen a lot of that in the media with social media, particularly in the last couple of weeks. Next one was Mike Tipping, and he just said swamp gas. Now, my first exposure to the whole swamp gas UFO phenomenon was watching the original Men in Black movie back in the 90s, when they talk about, you know, swamp glass reflecting off of the clouds and Venus and the atmosphere, and they make up this whole nonsense spiel before they zap them, you know, with a mind eraser. So swamp gas as a thing does exist, and, you know, but it's such a nothing argument, and it's not one we really hear too much these days anyway, is it? I'd be happy to bin that. What about you, Dan?
I think we should bin it. Hynek infamously says that it's his biggest regret that he ever brought that up. He brought it up as more of a curiosity as opposed to a very conclusive fact. So yeah, let's bin it. Let's get rid of it.
And it's in the very good Project Blue Book series as well, that was on Sci-Fi, that's currently looking for a new home. Hopefully someone picks it up, because
that
those
ended
two
on
seasons,
a really big cliffhanger.
Yeah, the two seasons were really good. And the second season I thought was far better than the first, and I really enjoyed the first as well.
They got to plot it out, right? Yeah. And I think they plotted the third season at the same time as they plotted the second. So I'd be eager for them to just get one final season.
Absolutely.
Happens.
But Hynek in that as a character, even though he's being caricatured, it's very much based on him as a person and a lot of the events that happened. But that whole swamp gas argument comes up in the first series early on. He mentions, it could be swamp gas. But then later he is told to explain something he's clearly seen as being, you know, extraterrestrial or otherworldly, as swamp gas. And even he just, as you say, he blows it off as he can't believe he's been told to say that. So totally, yep, with you on that one, Mike. The next one I'm going to pass over to you, Dan, to explain. But Linda Noyes, she said anthropocentricity, which I did have to ask you what that meant.
So that's about seeing everything from a very human point of view. I always think of it when we talk about the conquistadors getting to Central America and South America, and, you know, kind of ending the Mayans. People always think of us meeting another species. They think that will end in the same way, but we could say that it's a very anthropocentric viewpoint to think that way.
You're just thinking of it in terms of what humans do and how we interact and how we get on with each other, how we solve problems, how we would potentially communicate with another species. And that's,
yeah, exactly.
We don't know that would go anyway like that at all. So yeah, totally agree with that one. And that's similar along the lines of trying to study it from a scientific point of view. I think that was a really good point that David Marceau brought up in the original 101 show, where at first it sounds a bit crazy to bin science, but what he was trying to say was, science is very human, a lot of it, and it's how we study things and how we understand it. What if that's not how another race or how another set of beings work? Or what if to them it's really, really, really primitive, that it's like, you know, almost like cave drawings to them, cave paintings? We don't know, but hopefully we find out.
Yeah, absolutely. It speaks to the point about being aware of our biases as well. You know, there are kind of cognitive biases that our brains do always in everyday life. And if you're someone that's thinking, I don't fall for that, then that means that you are someone that falls for that. So just try and be aware of those biases.
And that's something I try and promote, especially on the social media feeds, but with a show as well, it's healthy debate. The next one, Blue Shift Radio, at Blue Shift Radio, sent in cattle mutilations. They don't make any sense. And separately, all videos of moving orbs and pictures without multiple credible eyewitnesses. They're too easy to fake. And all, in general, all videos that don't include at least one of the TTSA observables. I'm going to qualify this, because there might be people bringing this up, and you've mentioned this before, and Lou Elizondo himself has said this. He did not invent the five observables. That's not copyrighted from Lou Elizondo. That has been about for some time. It's just been brought to the forefront more, as Lou discussed it in recent years as well. But yeah, so the first one, cattle mutilations, a really interesting part of ufology that still sticks around to this day. Most recently, we saw incidents more or less on camera through the Skinwalker Ranch series, Dan.
Well, I don't want to get rid of something that doesn't make sense, because a lot of this phenomena doesn't make sense in a traditional way. What I would like is all of the data that NIDS and Bigelow had on cattle mutilation, so we can start getting into that and trying to figure it out and bring some sense to it.
And I suppose what we're not saying is we don't want to get rid of cattle mutilations, because that is not a pleasant experience for the animals, I'm sure, but just the incident, the event itself, you know, the mystery around it, definitely keep that. However, Blue Shift Radio also said videos about moving orbs. Now, let's take the moving orbs video. I'm always a little wary of these, because so many of them do look like dust moving around, or, you know, balls of lint, and, you know, not to start sounding like a debunker, but you see so many of those. Some of them, these things do seem to move with a level of independence you wouldn't expect it. It's just the wind that's caught it. But they're very hard to, you know, because what are they? It's just a ball on the screen, and it tends to be dark in the background, and it is night vision sometimes on these. But I know the Bledsoes talk a lot about orbs, and they've seen a lot of pictures and videos from them as well. I'm always wary of the orb situation. Not to say they don't exist.
Do you think there could be an orb video that you find convincing? Like, if I was filming it and someone else was filming it and you could see them in the shot and the orb was in between us, kind of zipping around, would that be a good orb video, for example?
It sounds like you do have that as a video and are going to send me.
I don't have that. I wish I had that. but just as an example.
Yeah, potentially. But then this, I'm going to argue with myself here that I've made the point before that just because I struggle to see how that could be genuine doesn't mean it's not, because what would an orb look like? I have never seen an orb in front of me, you know?
I guess it speaks to what I said about just because something doesn't make sense, we can't dismiss
exactly.
It.
Exactly, yeah. And it's hard. And again, so many of those videos, and we've all seen kind of nighttime videos and night vision and, you know, cheap baby monitors, and you do see like little bits of lint and whatever in there floating about, and just how it's picked up on camera. But yeah, for me, they don't do much for me in terms of the subject as things I find interesting. Because again, not much happens off the back of them either. It's just, it's there, and it's, you know, if it is a thing, then great. I would bin that to room 101 personally, just given what I've seen, and not something I've done too much digging into, to be honest though. What about you?
I'm going to pop them in as well. Just because we're talking about the old videos that are around now, right? Like if I could put a camera in four corners of the room and film an old video, and we could figure out depth and how fast this thing was going and prove it wasn't an insect, then that's a different kind of video. In terms of what we're talking about, just nondescript, single source, really hard to kind of see and make out. Yeah. You know, we have really compelling stuff to talk about. We don't need that necessarily.
Sorry if you're really into your orbs. I'm going to apologize to the listeners.
I mean, I love what the Bledsoes post. I've saved every single picture that Ryan's ever posted. I absolutely love them. But until, you know, I go there and I take a picture for myself, they are just pictures that Ryan's sharing. You know, I really like the story, and I am convinced that something's happening. But
so there,
I can't
though,
prove that they're real.
For me, that's different with the Bledsoes. There is a testimony to it, and there are multiple experiences, multiple events, more things happening round about. There's clearly sure. something, you know, special or particular about that family, that these are part of a whole, as opposed to when I'm talking about a picture of an orb or a video of an orb that someone has. It's, yeah. But so for me, the Bledsoe's totally different, just given the volume of them as well. But yeah, no.
Have you ever seen a film called, I think it's Capturing the Light? It's on Amazon. It's fairly short. I can't remember the subject's name in the video now, but she was really fascinating. She has a lot of old videos that are in that documentary, and there are some that have just a really, really crazy, overwhelming amount of orbs in them. If you're interested, I'd say go have a gander and have a watch of that.
I might have to do that. Yeah, you have told me about that before. Yeah, so that's a good recommendation from Dan for your listeners. Next one is Tara, regular listener, Patreon as well. Tara just added the word disclosure. She's had enough already. And she says, everyone knows. So she's coming from it, the point of view of, we have disclosure. It's out there. And I suppose it goes along with the theory and what people subscribe to. And it's a process. And we are on the process right now. It's happening. Disclosure's happened. And I suppose that's something Lou Elizondo again brought up in recent interviews, that, you know, we've had the US Navy, the Department of Defense confirm that these objects, UFOs, UAPs, they exist. They are real. And it's the classic interview with Lou of the, what is that? So the questions have changed now. We've got the acknowledgement. We actually have disclosure. What we don't have is the UFO on the White House lawn. And it would not be a good time for anything to land on the White House lawn, given what's going on in the news. So we're not going to get that. Yeah, we're not going to get that sort of a disclosure. It doesn't seem. But for me, we're on the path to it. So I don't know. I would keep disclosure. I wouldn't want to send it to Room 101, though. Don't know about you, Dan, though, with what Tara says there.
I kind of want to put it in. Only because we have this conversation about it being an event or a process so much that I think that the words just out there in the world meaning different things to other people, different people. So it's really hard for us to, you know, both point at an object and know that it's a rock, for example, if someone else said that word means something different. So it would be nice to get rid of it and replace it with something tidier.
A little bit like UFO changed to UAP. And does the military or will this UAP task force report have an alternative to what disclosure is as a process?
Yeah, you got it, exactly. We need some kind of fancy new language. I don't know what. Maybe your listeners could send suggestions.
Yeah, tag Dan, tag myself, email, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Yeah, let us know what you would call it. This one I think is going to be quick. UK UAP, Corey Good, Nuff said. Yep, Ben.
When you're sending in suggestions, don't send in Ascension or anything Corey Goodish.
Yeah.
And now you've brought up Corey Good.
I'm sorry, but utter nonsense. Yeah, that's just preying on some vulnerable people.
One day he's gonna make a really good like sci-fi movie. But if you hear him speak, he describes storyboards. Like he's not describing something that's in his head. He's describing something that he's imagining to tell people.
Yeah, one of those people that has made a lot of money off of this as well, and very, very, very few people do. And I'm sorry to say that almost all of those have done it for the wrong reasons as well. Maybe they were in it for the right reasons at the beginning, but something changed, and usually it's that dollar or pound sign, isn't it? Been that and that whole cult, almost, if you want to call it, of those types of people. The next one, Frank Milburn. Unfounded paranoid conspiracy theories lacking any evidence to support them without a basis in reality. Oh, that goes well with Corey Good. That go against established data and that demonstrate ignorance, political bias, lack of common sense and critical reasoning skills on the part of those propounding them. We'll keep that. However, let's move on to discuss Frank's second one. Not automatically assuming that ex-military and or intelligence people are part of the cover-up.
Yeah, even outside of ex-military, people get accused of being part of cover-ups, right? You know, there's been a few examples. For Jay from Project Unity, you know, he'd never been in the military. And if I remember correctly, he was accused of being part of a cover-up or some conspiracy once. And, you know, he wore it like a badge of honor because you got to take it with a pinch of salt and find the humor in it. But I totally agree. Like that stuff needs to go. Like you can't just assume someone's part of a conspiracy when they come forward. But at the same time, I understand that years and years of kind of half-truths have led to a kind of reaction to not believe anything that anyone associated with the government says. So while I understand it, yeah.
Yeah, totally. And I think now as well, people have access to so much information. Watching again the classic David Bowie video from the 90s, where he talks about the internet. I know it's been doing the rounds online recently. And David Bowie, 30 years ago now, discusses what the internet is and what it will become. At the time, it was AOL message boards and, you know, Star Trek fans discussing stuff over long distance. And he basically talks about how it's just going to become this bank of knowledge and people interacting and sharing experiences, and people like me and you, Dan, being able to have this conversation and talk to all these people. You know, you're not celebrities. You don't have to have a TV show or a radio station anymore to do this kind of stuff. And the wealth of information that's online is incredible, but also the problem, because so much of it is nonsense. And it's so hard to disseminate the really good material from the poor, and people just make up their own minds. And that's not always the individual's fault. So yeah, the whole conspiracy theory thing, it doesn't matter what you do now, you can go find an argument to the contrary. And it's, you know, one of my favourite movies, if not my favourite movie of all time, is The Dark Knight. And it's the when Bruce Wayne and Alfred are talking about, you know, the Joker and trying to find out his motive. And Alfred says to him, you know, some people just want to watch the world burn. So that's it. There's no rhyme or reason to why people perpetrate one ideology or theory over another. They just do it because they want to, whether it's right or wrong. Not to, you know, make that a political statement or commentary. However, there's just conspiracy theories for everything now. And it just gets so murky and wound up in this topic, given what we're discussing, which in itself is just the most incredible thing, in my opinion, which is why I've got a podcast on it. You're always going to have that element of it as well. And that's not to say some of those things that we talk about now as conspiracy theories aren't actually correct or turn out to be correct or valid down the line. Some of them, not all of them, who knows. Like I say,
we should separate theories and hypothesis, just to drive home the ones that actually have evidence for them and the ones that are just posted on a forum in the middle of the internet that have no bearing on reality.
Absolutely. So yeah, I'm happy to bin that, because at the end of the day, like I keep saying, we could all be wrong, but only one person or one theory is going to be right in the end, potentially encompassing a lot of aspects to it, no doubt. The fakers Marisol Brun put on, yep, that's something we've been discussing. Beachcomber touched on something mentioned earlier, to see an end to officials saying phenomena, experience and trustworthy witnesses, talking about Venus, Jupiter or lights from squid boats, etc. So that's fine. As we've just discussed, a mega point talked about certainty, because you cannot be certain in this topic. No one knows. Lucio Linné, wasting our time gathering and examining evidence of UAPs that isn't usable for scientific study, photos from someone's cell phone or a bloody light.
I mean, yeah, I can't disagree. Any evidence is good evidence, but I would refer people to the wonderful Shadows of Your Mind magazine and the feature with Chase Kloetsky, where she literally goes step by step through what you kind of need to do, gathering evidence. If you come across a landed craft or, you know, so on and so forth, what's good practice?
And Sean Cahill, I liked what he put in Room 101, was only having one source. No matter how good the picture or the video might be, if you've only got one source of information, one thing to go on, then it's not really good information. So yeah, no, I'm happy to bin that as well. This one from Dan Warren. We'd do away with anal probing. I'm sure they're examining people. I'm sure if they were examining people, they would check out all the holes, ears, eyes, nose, etc. But the exhaust port seems to get a disproportionate amount of attention from outsiders. And then he's very cleverly used some emojis there.
I like the term exhaust port.
What about the anal probe? Because again, that is from classic ufology as well. When you talk about like abductions and cattle mutilations, that's the 70s, 80s, 90s handbook, isn't it? South Park famously making fun of that one as well. But the whole anal probe things, it's one of those sort of, I suppose, a bit of a stain on ufology, pardon the pun. And that's not to say if anyone has had a genuine experience or, you know, contact experience where something physical has happened to them, I'm sure it can be harrowing from what some of these abductees discuss. But this is one thing that is very, very easy to poke fun at from outsiders, particularly.
It's always been something that come across as a bit of a joke to me. I mean that it's a joke if it's happened to anyone, but just that it sounds like something that you'd mock someone with, as opposed to something someone explained happened. You know, we hear about all this incredible technology that the others have, and I don't think, you know, if you can do non-invasive surgery through, you know, quantum means or whatever they do, then you don't need to go via the exhaust port. So it always felt like something you would say to someone, like, oh, you know what, they took you up and anal probed you. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to find that it has some horrible roots. So yeah, throw that in.
Totally fair. Next one was Liam Martin, who said, X-Files music on news pieces. Now, I did reply back with no hint of irony, have you listened to any of my first 8 shows? And I have started going back and changing those, not to rewrite history, but I first started the podcast and had the X-Files intro music, but it was a bit of a transversion that it was a bit of a homage to Coast with the famous, you know, do 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 do. I hope that's good podcast, good listening for folk, me doing that down the line. But that's what it sort of reminded me of, and that's what I wanted. Now I've got the intro, which is the original piece by Andreas Freeman Style, which is awesome. I love that, with the speeches and the comments over the top of it, and the very, very popular outro. I have to get this in because I'm still getting messages and emails about it, which is totally fine. It's Sean Cahill who wrote and recorded that piece of music. You'll find it on YouTube under Minty Hyperspace Goblin Problems. Great piece of music. I love listening to it. And I know listeners who do stick around for the end of the show and listen to the full outro. That's why I ended up including the full outro in there and not just a little clip of it as well. But yeah, the X-Files music on news pieces, the little green aliens in the middle of centerfolds in newspapers, the big green X, when it's a genuine story, especially we get this a lot here in the UK, it does take something away from the legitimacy of it.
Yeah, I think so. Much as I grew up with the X-Files and I love it, it does denote, you know, putting the subject in the basement, which is what we don't want, right? It's not the kooky subject in the basement. So whilst I love the theme tune, and for me it's very nostalgic, and, you know, we can talk about this in a serious manner and love that at the same time, yeah, it's not the best book to lead with, is it?
Absolutely. So definitely been that. Dan, side note, favourite X-Files episode or arc?
It's got to be the very, very first one I saw late at night, which was episode 1 of season 2, Little Green Men. How about you?
Tombs.
Tombs is an excellent choice.
I love the sliding through the vent and the seal at the goo, and it's they realize it's him, like, changing. Yeah. So not to give too much away for people who might be going, not, I mean, spoilers, it's 25 years ago, but yeah, go back and watch X-Files, something I might be doing in the near future, I think. I might have to do that as well. So yeah, happy to bin that one though. Awesome. So the next one from the Weather Balloon, people to stop promoting weak and not proven topics such as TR3B, Palladians, and Bob Lazar. Now, the Bob Lazar one, I've got my own opinions on. I do lean on the side that Bob Lazar was telling the truth, or mostly, or there's something to it. However, I have shared my thoughts and, you know, my pet hate of the whole TR3B, Palladians thing. Again, I'm not saying people are wrong to think that, but it's just that it has no basis of anything for me at all. They said disclosure's happening and the UFO community needs to address this matter seriously, credibly, and possibly scientifically also. And he also wants Brandon Fugel to show his evidence on the phenomenon.
I'm still eager for Brandon Fugel to get that Skinwalker website up to share the data. That would be wonderful.
And hopefully Brandon is going to be on the podcast in the near future as well. We have been DMing, so I am just looking to hopefully get a date arranged. More than likely before the new series starts to preview season two of Skinwalker Ranch. But yeah, would you be... I'm binning that. I'm sending that straight to Room 101, the week in not proven topics, like TR3B, Palladians, and... Yeah.
I mean...
It might be happening. Again, let me preface that. I'm not just sitting on the fence. It might be happening. People might know for a fact that there are Palladian races in some star system, second star on the right and straight until morning. I don't know. However... Forgive the Peter Pan reference, Dan's enjoying. Yeah, for me, it's just seeing it with literally no evidence to it at all.
So yeah, absolutely.
It's a hard topic.
We've got better things to be speaking about and to be studying, and yeah, we don't really need that stuff. In it goes.
Yeah, it's possible too. Last couple here, folks. It's possible too. There's an anti-science rhetoric in UFO culture that needs to leave. Science is good. It is dogma that is bad. Scientific dogma is keeping science from accepting UFOs. Unfortunately, many in this community reject science and critical thinking in general. Given you've been science, Dan, do you want to?
Hey, I went back on it. So I can't really say anything. I agree with this one because my initial instinct was to say, yeah, we don't need science, but we really do. It's a really important arm of studying this topic. So yeah, but again, you know, Avi Loeb, I will probably speak about it when you speak to him. There is a lot of dogma in science. There is a lack of curiosity, and we need to bring that back. So science is good, but closed-mindedness and assumptions and dogma, bad.
Okay, I could go back and edit to you when I first asked you about that one and just clip you saying, yep, Bennett, from one of the other ones right at the start. But yeah, I'll let Dan away with that one.
If I see this up later and it's like 10 minutes long and every single answer is me just saying, Bennett, in the exact same tone.
Yeah, it's like a 5-minute long show. Rob Watson, author, which is his full Twitter handle as well. People charging money for access to secret information or to learn how to fill the blanks here is the first thing that tips me off for charlatans. Writing and selling books is fine. Get rid of fake UFO photos and videos. Yeah, the charging people money for access to information, I disagree with that one as well. Keeping stuff behind a paywall. Patreons on this show get early access, they get ad-free. But if you want to hear the answer to Rob's question, if you sign up to patreon.com/... I'm just joking, that's it. We're going to discuss the answer here. Yeah, the access to secret information thing, because this happens sometimes with us, Dan, where... not that Dan charges me money for information, but Dan will mention something...
Did you get my bill, actually?
the invoice. Dan will mention something he saw in an interview, and he'll send me a link and I'll click on it and he'll be like, oh, it's now behind a paywall. Or have you checked this out? He's not had time yet. And I go to click on it and again, behind a paywall. And it's still not out. And that for me is just like, additional content, you know, extended interviews. Absolutely. If people want to do that, you know, people do put work into this topic and subject, and any topic and subject where you're doing podcasts, blogs, websites, you know, any of that kind of stuff, that's fine. But when you're literally keeping back, especially when you're, some of this stuff is advertised as, you know, top secret military whistleblower comes clean on alien visitation, $4.99 a month, or you can't hear it. That's frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always said that the truth just isn't going to cost anything. You know, if I met another being from another world and my first reaction was to start charging people thousands of pounds to hear the truth. One, I don't think, you know, if I ever do that, you know that I've been kidnapped. If I ever post that to my Twitter, you know I've been kidnapped. That's the sign. And there's just, what would the others think about this? You know, if aliens came down and said, go for it, spread the truth, change the world, and then found out that you were charging and limiting your audience, I don't think they'd be very happy about that. So yeah, I would definitely put this in Room 101.
Yeah, I mean, support your creators, support podcasts you listen to, you know, support any other form of media, how you get your entertainment, your information, if you can. Really tough times for everyone, but that shouldn't be held back because you can't afford to get it. So yeah, I'm totally with you in bidding that one as well.
There's an Angels and Aoi's lyric that comes to mind, which is do what you want and do what you want.
I'm not editing this out.
There's a really great Angels and Aoi's lyric that goes, it's all success if it's what you need, do what you want and do it honestly. And emphasis on the honestly bit. You know, the world will give you success at following your passion if you're honest with people. I just don't think that anyone barking up that tree and asking for money for spreading truth is going to get very far either.
No, absolutely not. The next one, Peter commented, Nick Pope, that's it. Now, Nick Pope's been talked about enough recently, good or bad. You know, Nick Pope, someone I've grown up reading a lot of his stories, and when I say stories, I mean his actual novels that he wrote, the Operation Lightning Strike and Thunderchild, I think are really good, really interesting. The way they're written are quite different as well. I attended his lecture in Berwick a good few years ago now. That was like 7 years ago almost. But obviously more and more recently, there's been a lot of controversy around him within the press and the media and different documents coming out that maybe he did exaggerate or didn't exaggerate his role within the MOD. That's a conversation that's been had already. Nick Pope, I am not going to say bin on this one, only because I still think Nick Pope has a place within this, but maybe it's not the same place he had a couple of years ago.
In the roundtable, we didn't put Mick West in, so I'm not putting Nick Pope in.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Other people I know that will disagree, and I know some of the listeners listening to this just now who tweet about it or message me will be tearing their hair out, demanding that Nick Pope be thrown in. But nah, we'll leave Nick Pope. We'll spare him for now. and he was very nice to speak to. He's very personable as well. I like this one. I should probably finish on this one, but I think there's a few more to go still. KK Nichols, I wouldn't get rid of anything. Life is collective and progress comes with mutual acceptance. With that said, disinformation agents boil my blood. So they still got the disinformation agents in there as well. But yeah, not getting rid of anything, that's absolutely fair. I like this one. So we'll go for two more. Dan, Adam. At UFO Curious, President Eisenhower meeting with ETs. It's in the Hangar One series for some reason, and MUFON regarding it as fact makes the whole series lack credibility.
It's kind of one of these almost founding myths of ufology, isn't it?
You want it to be real. You and I like most of this, and I've never had this. Like, there's so much you want to be real. You want every picture, every video to be bang. Skinny Bob, 100% real, but there's that thing in the back of your mind telling you no.
And until there is more evidence to back up that it happened, then it's got to just sit in the grey pile. There's nowhere else I can put it. But I'm not sure whether that means I want to burn it for it in 101.
So I personally...
I think it's worth pulling the threads on still.
I would leave it out of room 101 just because the idea that a president did meet with ETs, there's no smoke without fire for me with a lot of this topic, and I would leave that one out.
It would be nice if MUFON could highlight that fact though, as opposed to saying that it's definitely real. It belongs as a story of intrigue on history, as opposed to a organization like MUFON saying this is a real thing.
Yeah. And the last one, this is hard to say. Philly Guy 444. People who tie in politics with the ufology. I'm not going to read some of the rest of the quote that's on his Twitter. However, people tying in politics and ufology. For me, absolutely keep them separate, even though I say that the government are now, like it or not, playing a large part, particularly the US government, in pushing forward the UAP bill through the Senate, the task force report. The government is now intrinsically tied in with this subject, which is surprising because a few years ago that would have been crazy to think. But leaving other politics out of this altogether, for me, I don't think this is a subject that it's going to matter who the president is necessarily. I think this sort of goes above and beyond that. I think it is more for discussion at high levels, and those discussions are thankfully now happening in the corridors of power, particularly in the United States.
I mean, I can't disagree with any of that.
And that's why I have you on as a co-host, Dan. I would hate for someone to come on and disagree with me. I joke. But yeah, do you see the change of power? Obviously, as we record this, Joe Biden takes over as president in a couple of days' time. Do you see that affecting anything at all? It's already happening. The report's going to come out. And interestingly, he's just replaced or has appointed an interim temporary Secretary of Defense, which is also the same guy who is heading up the UAP task force.
He's less heading up and more kind of overseeing. It's more like kind of if you've got a project going, he's the team manager that you report how the project's going to. But I mean, still, that's amazing. I think there might be a point where, you know, they can have that conversation. He's the guy that Biden should turn to and say, so what's all this about then? That's a great guy to have that conversation with Biden and brief him. So fingers crossed that happens. With politics and UFOs staying separate, I always think of the visitors, or, you know, they may be from here, but the others, I'll say.
Yeah.
They're like, we've said it several times through this whole conversation, they're probably not going to be like us. So for us to think of it in political terms is going to put us at a massive disadvantage. If we want to think, you know, what does them coming here mean, then we need to start thinking in very different ways that reach across the aisle, or less reach across the aisle and more obliterate the aisle and just realize we're all on the same side and we're all one people, which feels very far away right now. But for that reason, yeah, I would agree. Interim 101 politics and UFOs goes.
It's just to end on the famous, is it Richard Nixon address to the United Nations, that how different, how small and petty our differences would appear if one day a race from another planet were to come in and we'd all kind of get together. And I know I'm butchering the quote, but yeah, it's this is going to go way above politics, borders, different countries, cultures, societies, religions, you know, when the day finally comes that we find out what is going on, which I really do hope is sooner rather than later, folks. However, thank you for all your submissions. Apologies we never got them on the original first two parts on the roundtable, but it was amazing getting all those sent in. Keep your questions coming for Avi and Lou. I'll be recording those shows later this week and they'll be out within the next 7 to 10 days. Lou will be released later on this week. That would be the week of around the 22nd of January. And then the Avi interview should be out around the end of January after that as well, folks. Roundtable will be coming with Sean, Jeremy and Dan a few weeks after that, once we get the recording and dates all set up. And I'll be in a place to announce future guests pretty soon. Early February, I should have Danny Silva as the next guest after that as well. Just been speaking to Danny and sorting out dates as well. So you can start getting your questions over if you're listening to this for Danny. That would be appreciated. But folks, Dan, thank you very much for joining me on this late hour.
Thank you. And thanks to all your listeners for sending in the great submissions for Room 101.
No, they've been great. There was a lot of really good stuff in there. And hopefully a little bit of infotainment has kept people entertained and educated as we kick into 2021 and various states of lockdown, quarantines and, you know, unrest as it goes. Everyone, stay safe. Remember, keep looking up. You never know what you might see.
It wasn't a tic tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an issue. I don't think he expected me to see his ass, but I'd had some champagne and smoked a little grass. awake. I was about to abduct you, cuz. I jumped back and nearly kissed myself. Then I climbed out the window after the elf. And I woke up in my bed and there was something on my head. And everything was weird and everything was red. And I called up my boys. They thought this was noise. They thought it was a dream. They thought it was my toys. They thought it was my problems. And they think I should see therapy. And I don't know what it is because it doesn't really scare me. If you really want to know who I think they'd be, I think it's you and me and us and we and him and her and that and she and that thing over there and what's that, Jake? But for being serious, open your mind, consider your heart, consider time, consider your space, consider your lies, consider your life, consider your eyes.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.